Did you know that the word minister means servant? That's really all it means. It means servant. And ministry means service. But Ephesians chapter 4, it says this, that God gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That means that pastors, like people like me and others, are to prepare God's people and build up the body of Christ, prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up. And that's what the New International Version says on that verse. In other words, all believers are actually the ministers. They're the ministers. They're the servants of God. And God created us to serve Him and others. That's what we were created for. When we think about what happened, you know, sin came in and disrupted our service. It put us out of service. It put us out of commission. It put us out of service. But Jesus saved us, but He saved us for servant leadership. Servant leadership. We're going to hear that word again and again because the gospel calls us back to our identity as servants. That's what the gospel really does. It calls us back to our real identity as servants of God. And our servant nature comes directly from the ultimate servant. Who is the ultimate servant? It's God Himself. He's the maker of everything and the provider, the watcher over of everything. That's His service. He's done that very well. And we think about our destiny. What is our destiny then? If we're created in His image, our destiny is to be like Him, to be servants, servant leadership. It says in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image." And in our likeness. The Trinity wanted us to be like them, like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, serving one another and serving each other. So He said that in our image, in our likeness, and let them, what? Rule. So there's leadership involved. There's servant leadership. That's why I say that a lot. I'm going to repeat it a lot because we are servants, but we're leaders, and so we're servant leaders, and we have servant leadership, and that's our destiny. But we train for that at the grassroots level, and if you want to see how God started training humanity, He put them in a garden. It says in Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to work it, and some translations say cultivate it, and to take care of it. To guard it, because it was under attack in a way, spiritually, we'll find that. We see that. But someday, we're going to reign with Christ. And I spoke a little bit about that earlier, that we will reign with our human king as a human group ruling the universe. And you say, well, that's too big. Yes, it's big, but God's going to help us get up to the challenge. And we don't know exactly how that's going to work out. But we know that that's what we were created for. We were created as servant leaders to rule the universe with Christ. And we don't know what that looks like yet. But we got to be servants down here at the grassroots level so that we can find out our nature and come back to our nature as servant leaders. In our text today that we've had read, and it's there in front of you in your worship folders, Paul was speaking to elders, and now these were servant leaders too, and he was telling them, follow me in this kind of example that I've laid out before you, in exemplifying gospel faith, and this is what I'm seeing. I named this, I entitled this message, Exemplifying Gospel Faith, because what it really is serving, it's service. That's what exemplifying gospel faith is. Earlier than the passage we read in verses 19 through 21, Paul said this, I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So to follow Paul's example, servant leaders need to have some things. And one of the first things is a servant's attitude about time. A servant's attitude about time. Time spent with others is eventually going to come to an end. Time spent with, at least in this earthly existence, time that we spend with others will be, there will be a final time. In our lives, there will be a final meeting with certain people. And that will be the last time that we're with them. We don't know when that is, but Paul said in verse 25, "Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again." He knew, for him, he knew this was it. I don't get another chance to talk to them. And we don't ever know when it's the last, unless the Lord says, this is it, so make it count. You know, we need to be listening so that God can help us do that. If we treated our time that we spend together with our loved ones, if we treated it as maybe our last, then it might change our conversation. It might change our behavior, our focus of what we're talking about or what we're concerned about. Paul had the same kingdom focus. He had the same kingdom focus that Jesus had. And with Jesus alive in our hearts, we've talked a lot about it in the book of Acts. Jesus is not done yet, and he's living in our hearts, and he wants to do this incarnation thing all around the world, everywhere, in you specifically. The incarnation of Christ in you, he's enfleshed himself in your life. And your life is distinct. It's individual. It's corporate, but it's also individual, because after we leave from here, we go to different people, different places, and we have an influence that's individualistic. And I pray that we would use those opportunities to be servants in the way that Paul described, using our time properly, because we don't know if it's going to be the last communication we share with somebody. Maybe about what Jesus means to us, what Jesus has done in our lives, how he's blessed us, how our daily walk with him has been. Those are the kind of things I want us to share during the sharing time, because those are the kind of things that build our faith up, and build up each other's faith. And our biggest hindrance, and this is what Paul said, I did not hesitate, but our biggest hindrance from doing that, or of sharing about the kingdom, because that's what he was sharing about it, is what will others think? What will others think if I share about God's kingdom? You know, what are they going to think? What our question should be is, when will others start thinking about God, and how can I help them do that? You know, that's the real question we ought to be asking ourselves. Paul knew that time is limited, and it can be misused by hesitation. In 27, he said, I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. People's opinions change, and their opinions about you and about other things, they change. And you may not share with somebody and then find out a week later, guess what? I found out about Jesus and I'm a Christian now. Oh, yeah, I could have told you that about Jesus. You know, basically people change. So what will they think? It doesn't matter what they think. We do not need to hesitate about letting them know the will of God. If we know the will of God, we should have no hesitation to tell them what the will of God is in that situation if we know it. Because time for sharing our gospel faith eventually runs out, we need the right timing. The right timing. And God will give us the best time to share. And sometimes we just like, David preached this message, now I've got to go do it. Hold on. Just ask God for the right timing. Because some people, they're pushed away at different times. And sometimes they need, they're in a place where something's happened and now they're open. And that's what God said, okay, now it's the time. That's when we need not to hesitate. Don't hesitate. Just go and say what you know, what God tells you to say, because that's the time where it can go into the heart and they can say, oh, I never saw it that way before. Oh, I really do need to pray. And God does love me. Oh my goodness, there's so many things people don't know because they haven't been open. But then God brings things into it. He's trying to orchestrate an openness in their heart. And that's when we need to have listening prayer. Spend time in listening prayer. And I've had that happen where I've been in prayer and God says, I want you to pray for that person. Okay, Lord, the next time. And then when I was with that person, I was different things. And I was saying, do you remember that prayer? In that prayer, I told you, now do it. And that's when a little boy's eyes was healed at that time. And that's like one of the most amazing experiences in my life because of listening prayer. Well, we need a servant's attitude about time and about the times we live in. This planet's history of dangerous times began when Cain murdered Abel, his brother. He murdered his brother. That's just right at the very beginning, the first family. So dangerous times have been with us all these years. We hear of all these shootings and it's just terrible. And we realize that we live in dangerous times. And if we are to serve God and others faithfully and effectively in modern times, we need to have a servant's attitude about danger. A servant's attitude about danger. In verse 28, he says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Jesus bought the church with his own blood. And these words were spoken to elders for sure, but they were servant leaders. And what are we? We are servant leaders too. These words call us to servant leadership if we look at them. Not, they say, well, that's about ministers. Who are the ministers? We are the ministers. And the minister is to equip them to do this. And that's how I'm hopefully equipping you today to look at yourself as a servant leader. And this idea of building up the body of Christ, it's all of our obligation. It's not just mine. It's all of our obligation, because once we become servant leaders, the service that we have is, it says here, to build up the body of Christ. This sharing time is really important for that. So I encourage you, when you're having your daily devotions, then take some time to write something down. If God shares something, put it in your purse, put it in your Bible, put it, and then bring it and then share it, because it will bless not just you, but it will bless us. Well, Scripture, we look at Cain, what he did, but Scripture says, yes, you are to Cain's, am I my brother's keeper attitude? You know, he had an attitude, I'm not my brother's keeper. Well, he had done an awful deed, but he was trying to get an out and trying to get out of it. Am I my brother's keeper? No. Yes, you are. That's what Scripture tells us. We are our brother's keeper. There's a blood tie that calls all of us to mutual watch care. And that blood tie, that family blood tie, is purchased by Jesus, who purchased the church of God with his own blood. That's what it says. He purchased the church of God with his own blood. You know, this attitude of mutual care, it's really expressed well in this song by a very popular hit song by Bill Withers. He said, lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm going to need somebody to lean on. Just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'd understand. We all need somebody to lean on. And that's why this is a mutual thing. This is not, We need to see it individually and take individual responsibility and not say, well, he's not serving. No, it's all of our responsibility, and we need to have that as a attitude. Lean on me, because I might need it too. And Paul also, this thing about danger, warning people, Paul warns, be on your guard against external attacks from savage wolves from the outside that will come in and will not spare the flock. But he also warn them against the dangers of a spiritual climate in our culture, like today, that the church has been invaded by attitudes of false teachings that draw disciples away. And this happens again. This happened down through history. It's still happening today. So, heeding this warning that we must be alert, that we have to be on our guard, that applies to our spiritual climate of our culture today. And others may not share the concern that we have. What do we do if they don't share the concern that we have about the dangers of today? Well, we need to pray. Paul's tears, he said he had tears. These tears of warning seem to indicate intercession. You know, there's sometimes you get emotional when you get it before the Lord in prayer sometimes, and sometimes it's involved weeping and tears. And we need intercessory prayer. Prayer can change things, and prayer can change attitudes. We don't exactly know how God works to do that with the free will, but we know His influence, and we know what has happened to us in our lives, so we can pray with that. If there's an unservant-like attitude, we need to pray that God will bring the attitude of servant leadership. A servant's attitude about danger means putting God's armor on. We know that from Ephesians chapter 6. But using that armor skillfully and effectively to stand firm in faith, it has a crucial requirement that sometimes is not thought about, but is the crucial requirement in Ephesians 6:18. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints, for all other Christians. In other words, we're to be praying for each other. That's part of this spiritual warfare. Put on the armor, yes, and then stand in the armor in prayer for your brothers and sisters in Christ. The gospel has called us home. It's called us back home to our true identity as our brother's keeper. Our brother's keeper, servants. Kingdom living is not serving ourselves. That's not, I just want to make sure I get to heaven. I just want to make sure I'm okay with the Lord. Yes, make sure you're okay with the Lord. Watch out for yourselves. That's what it says here. But then also for the flock, for your brother, serving God and others. And that means having a servant's attitude about serving. A servant's attitude about serving. What's in it for me is the attitude of greed that has led leaders to misuse their power for gain, not for God. Paul exemplified authentic servant leadership in verse 33. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You know, the idea of clothing was very expensive in those days, but also clothing was a status symbol. And that's not what he was after, a status symbol. And he was not after money. He was after their hearts to get them as servants of the Lord. God the servant has cared for the creation that he created to the point of being crucified for it. Okay? But Paul similarly did a similar thing. The churches he established, he kept serving them, and he even served the ministry teams that he formed to serve those churches. It says in verse 34, these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. Those are their team members. Paul, following Christ's example of service leadership, he tried to get others to do the same thing. In verse 35, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said It is more blessed to give than to receive. We exemplify the gospel, and we exemplify the gospel faith only as the gospel reestablishes us in our identity, our true identity as servant leaders, as servants. Worldly noise can distract us from God's voice, from Christ's call, follow me, because he calls us every day, follow me. But where does he want to bring us? Where does this follow me bring? His call is to get us to him from one place to another. What is the place that he wants us to be in? It's in self-giving service. He wants us to call us into self-giving service, the same kind of service he had. Ingrown, self-serving lifestyles are boring. They're boring. You know, they have an endless array of new toys to try to end the boredom. Does it? No, it doesn't. That's because enduring joy and enduring satisfaction with life is based on who you are, who you really are. When you find your true self, when you find who you're truly meant to be, you will have joy. And that's the joy of heaven. That's the joy of heaven, because it's not going to stop there. Rediscovering our purpose, rediscovering our true meaning, our true significance. In French, our raison d'être, you know, our reason of being. Why were we created? Humans were created to be servants in the image of a serving God. When Jesus starts indwelling us by gospel new birth, he comes into our hearts, his grace and truth. He brings his grace and truth into us, and that calls us back home to who we really are, servant leaders. What will we be doing in heaven? Listen to this simple description. It's given in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22:3. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. That's the only thing I see us doing in heaven. It just has this down here. I mean, praising the Lord, that's part of the service. His servants will serve him. Since that's the heavenly goal of our salvation and our sanctification, that means becoming holy vessels of the Lord, sanctification, then Paul, in this passage, includes this little benediction, a familiar benediction to us, verse 32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That's what our sanctification is for. It's for this heavenly lifestyle. You want to live heaven's lifestyle down here? It's be servants. His servants will serve him. Be servants serving him now. So I'm going to conclude this message with a prayerful song from Kelly Willard. And here it is. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, help me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Amen. Father God, that's a prayer we all need to sing every day as we face our day and face the different situations we're going to be in, and every single one, we have not lost our identity. It's an identity that we did lose in the Garden of Eden, but we've got it back through Jesus Christ. We've got it back to be served. You live in our hearts, Lord. You want to serve. You want to continue. You're not done yet. You're still serving this world, and you want to serve through us. And so I pray, Father God, that we will pray this prayer. Make me a servant. Make me a servant today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.